This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Matthew Favas of The Economist magazine, whose extremely helpful article at some detail about what Europe faces this winter of 22, but really for several more winters, 23, certainly perhaps 24, which is the shortfall of energy because of the sanctions and banning of Russian natural gas, crude oil, and refined oil. We've talked about Qatar, but there are other countries who are available for natural gas in particular. Let's go to Norway or Azerbaijan or Iraq. You see, as this crisis continues, we're all going to need our atlases. Matthew, does Norway have more? Because Norway is a very rich country. I smiled last week when I was told that there's a traffic jam of Teslas in downtown Oslo. Are they ready to sell more?
They're already selling pretty much close to maximum capacity, I suspect. You know, they've been, of course, trying to help Europe as much as they can, and they can't do a lot more. They've, you know, one thing they've done this year is to postpone maintenance on their main gas producing facilities so that they could continue to produce at maximum capacity this summer. Next year, actually, it's possible that they will produce, in fact, less than they have this year because they need to do this maintenance at some point. So otherwise, the whole infrastructure will break. So Norway, I don't think is the answer here. It's already helping, but it's not the answer.
And the pipeline from the Caspian Sea, starting in Azerbaijan, is there more there immediately or in the near future?
There might be a bit more from Azerbaijan, and it's been discussed, and I think they're already providing more to Europe. But it's not the sort of volumes that we need to plug the hole that we'll have this winter and perhaps even more next winter.
Right. The hole, remember, it's this winter, Matthew reports, it's 60 to 70 billion cubic meters. They need to fill it or else. And next year it's 140. So now we go to another problem. There's nothing but problems here, but at least we can identify what needs to be done. Regasification. As I understand, there are regasification ports, incoming ports for liquefied natural gas from all over the world in Europe, but they're in inconvenient places such as Spain. They need them in Germany, and they're paying a lot of money for what are mobile regasification. Is there money going into building permanent ports now? Are they investing?
Yes, there's money going into permanent ports. I think around five are being planned, but these take time to build. It's like several years typically because they're quite big facilities, big terminals. They're quite expensive as well. But the problem is more time. You know, if you need them now, they're not going to be there within the next 6 months. So what Europe is doing in the meantime, European countries, is to bring to Europe these movable plants on giant barges. They're basically massive boats that can do the job, but you know, offshore, and then bring the gas onshore through a pipeline. And this is far less expensive and also much quicker to bring to Europe. So by the end of next year, it's planned that there will be 10 such vessels docked at European ports, which is around a fifth of the global fleet. There's not many boats like that around the world, and Europe will have a fifth of it, of the whole fleet.
The climate, our last minute here, does climate come up? Because we're doing the opposite of what the recommendation was in Glasgow last year. Is that an irony that's mentioned in these conversations? We have about a minute.
Yes, it's an irony that's being mentioned, not necessarily by governments in Europe too much, but it's definitely something that, you know, activists, environmentalists are mentioning, the fact that we are pricing gas much more. It's making it harder for Europe to negotiate long-term contracts because it doesn't show enough commitment to wanting the gas in the future. And also it creates a lot of demand in Europe, but also elsewhere for coal, which is seen as a cheaper alternative to gas, which is so expensive right now. So you're seeing coal from all over the world travel to Europe, even from Australia. And you're also seeing a lot of countries worldwide bidding up for cargoes of coal, all of which is very bad for the planet. So the current crisis is not good news.
Matthew Favas giving us some hard numbers about the challenge ahead as we await the weather reports from the European plain. Matthew's at The Economist magazine. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,